You might not think that a few simple words could make you crave McDonald's breakfast sandwiches. But if you listen closely to the sound of me saying McGriddles, McMuffin, you might be wrong. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Mondays.
911, what's your emergency?
She said the dam broke.
Where's all that water gonna go?
All the quakes damaging the dam. Closed gas lines, unstable structures, and mud.
Anybody out here?
911 is back.
We have to hope for the best.
For the biggest season ever.
Push through the pain.
911, all new Mondays on Global. Also available through Stack TV.
Help us on the way.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining me for Daily Spark with Dr. Angela. I am your host, Dr. Angela Buchester. You know what I like to do on my show. I want to enlighten you. I want to inspire you. I want to empower you to become your best self. Now, Scripture reminds us that the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And today, we want to get you fired up about love. Where today we're talking about the book God's Unbreakable Love. Its author is Holly Robbins, and I'm so excited to bring her to you today. Now, you know what I'm going to tell you. Go on, get comfy, get cozy, get your coffee or get your tea, because we are about to get started. Good morning, Holly. Thank you so much for being on Daily Spark with Dr. Angela today.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you so much for joining us today. Before we get into talking about your book, because I definitely want to pick your brain about that, if you could please, Holly, there may be some people who are unfamiliar with you, or perhaps they're unfamiliar with your work. Can you tell us a little bit about who you are? What makes you, you?
Well, I am definitely a woman of God. I love God with all my heart, but I was not always that woman. And I lived a very troubled past dysfunctional life for many years, had been married three times, and it started when I was just a child, when I was kept in a room for 2 years by the very people that were trusted to take care of me. And so I dragged that room around with me for years, and till events in my life that led me to God.
I could just see our listeners, someone's nodding, you know, a couple people are nodding their heads saying, yeah, sometimes life happens, and it happens hard sometimes. So yeah, I totally understand that. But I'm so glad, like you said, that even with all of that happening, you have become the woman that you are today. And God is so awesome. I'm glad that you have continued to walk along that path. Now, being an author, is that something that you have always wanted to do, or did you find that it was just the next logical step for you?
You know, actually, I didn't plan on writing a book, but I felt very deeply that God wanted my story to be given to the public. Although I wanted to be very wrong, and I prayed heavily for months that God would just let it go. But in the end, it was no longer my story to not tell. It was God's story, and he had his reasons for wanting it to be told. And really, my story has been passed down throughout history. It's a story of a devoted, loving Heavenly Father and how far he will go to save his daughters. My argument was, though, God, you've completely healed me of my horrible, dysfunctional past. How can I go back those years of pain and sadness when I don't remember them, not with any emotion anyway? Not for that little girl that lived in the room or the unbearable years that followed. Lord, you healed me completely. I feel no pain for her. It's like she never existed. I can remember back, of course, events, and I've told my story to many inmates that I ministered to in prisons over the years. I wanted to express the amazing changes that God can do when he rebuilds a person. But I really felt to write the story, I'd have to revisit that person and those horrible years. So I pleaded for God not to take me back there. And I was afraid that going back would only open up those wounds. And I felt that it wasn't fair that God was asking me. But once again, God was asking me to trust him. God had asked me to go on a trust walk with him, as he did many times in the past. And it wasn't always easy, but it was always rewarding. So I asked God to write the story for me, because I kind of felt overwhelmed. Where do I even begin, and what do I know about writing a book? I also asked that when I was sitting at my desk, he would give it all to me. But when I would leave my chair, it would not go with me, because I was afraid that that pain would overtake me again. But it never did. It stayed behind every time I left that chair. Even in the most painful paragraphs that I was sobbing like it only happened yesterday, he filled my memories of times and things that I had forgotten about. There were moments I had to ask God to slow down because I couldn't type that fast. God tightly held me while telling his story of how far he will go to save his daughters. And really, in the end, it turned out that going back and telling the story only made me stronger.
So the title of your book, God's Unbreakable Love, did you find that the title of the book came to you first? Did it develop out of your writings? Did you find that it was just a God download? How did you determine the title of your book?
It had to be that title, because really, for me, in my story, it had to be God's Unbreakable Love, because there was a time in my life where I thought I broke his love. After everything that I've done, I can't go back. How could I ask him to take me back? But God was reaching out, and he said, Holly, you can't break my love. I'm here. And he reached out for me. So it had to be God's Unbreakable Love.
Now, the way that you wrote the book, did you write it in a way that the reader should read from cover to cover? Are they able to simply open the book and start reading? What do you suggest?
It's funny you say that, because everyone that's talked to me about reading my book has said to me that they couldn't put it down and that they read it from cover to cover. I remember like one lady saying that she had to work in the morning, but she couldn't put it down, and she was still reading at 3 o'clock in the morning because they had to find out what happened next.
Now, speaking of process, did you find that you had to write at a certain time of day? Did you need a certain environment? What was your writing process like?
Oh, you know, the first time when I asked God if he would write it for me, I waited on him. And the first time that he came to me and said it's time was 3 o'clock in the morning. And most of my writing was done at 3 o'clock in the morning until daylight. It was quiet. It was one-on-one with God. And I was down the hall in my office with the door closed, and sometimes just wrapped in his arms and sobbing as he gave it to me.
I always love asking that question, because each author has their own unique way, their own process of doing things, and I love it. Now, there may be someone who is saying, you know, Dr. Angela brings us so many authors on the show, and they share their books, and everyone says that their book is different. So my question to you is for that person who says, what makes your book different? What makes your book unique?
Well, for one thing, it has a happy ending. But more than that, it comes with a map that shows every woman the way to not only be healed, but to comfort and joy and peace. And it's also filled with hope that can only come from a father that will go to such great lengths to bring his daughters to victory, way beyond their dreams. It comes with directions to higher ground. And for many that has read it, they've told me that it has been life-saving.
Mm-hmm. Now, your book describes abuse and some dysfunctional behaviors. Is your book, however, able to reach those who have perhaps not experienced that? Is your book just for someone who's looking to heal, or is it for everyone?
You know, it's really, it's for those that have had this misfortune of dysfunctional living, of course. But it's for all women from all diverse backgrounds. It's for that woman who has have had no education and no opportunities in life, to the woman who has had it all and has had a master's degree. It's for any woman that that needs guidance or help or strength. It's a book of hope. And sometimes I've always said that even though you have never been in a prison cell, there are so many women today that are living in prisons. And those prisons can be low self-esteem or dysfunctional living or despair or not feeling adequate. List just keeps going on. But the good news is that Jesus has the key for all of them, and he wants to set women free. And the book is really all about, the story is how much God loves his daughters and how much they matter to him, how much women mean to God, and how he's used them and wants to use women today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You are so right about that. I remember I preached a sermon and I talked about how radical Jesus was for the times in which he interacted with women and the way in which he interacted with women, and how during that time period, most people wouldn't have done that, but yet Jesus did, and how that was really an astounding accomplishment, and how we needed to applaud how women were utilized in ministry. So you are so right. God does care about us, is paying attention to us. And I said, just the little note of, I was like, who was the first person to find out that Jesus had in fact, arisen? And I was like, that was a woman. And I was like, a woman was the first person to share that good news. I was like, go, God, go. You are so right. Now, one of the things that you talk about or mentioned in your book is how God spoke to you, how he guided you. We only have about 2 minutes left in this segment, but I wanna ask you that, and we can keep going if we need to. But why did you feel it was important for you to mention how God spoke to you?
Oh, because so many people, they believe in prayer, and they believe that God hears our prayers, and they believe that God can answer prayers, but they don't understand that God talks to us in many ways. And some people say, I have to laugh because the inmates in prison I minister to, they say, you sound like you really, talk to God. And I say, yeah, I do. And he talks back. And they're going, he talks back? And they say, something? Sometimes people say, it was just a little voice inside of me. I can't explain it. It was just this little voice inside me. Or some will say, I had a gut feeling. And I say, you know what? Your intestines can't talk, but the Holy Spirit that was promised to you does.
Absolutely.
And so that little voice that you're hearing is from God. And I mean, God talks to us in many ways. He talks to us through his word. He talks to us through people, through events. God is always talking to us if we're just willing to listen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. so true. If we are just willing to listen, then we can definitely hear. Well, it is time for us to go to break, Holly. But before we do, can you remind everyone, please, what is the title of your book? Where can we pick up a copy? And how do we stay in contact with you?
It's called God's Unbreakable Love, The Master Healer of Broken Hearts and Shattered Lives. And you can find it on Amazon or pretty much any major bookstore. And you can stay in touch with me at www.hollycrobbins.ca.
I love it. Alrighty, listeners, now you know where you can get a copy of the book. We'll be back right after this. And we are back. Thank you so much for joining me for Daily Spark with Dr. Angela. I'm your host, Dr. Angela Buchchester. My guest today is author Holly Robbins, and we are talking about her book, God's Unbreakable Love. I know, such an awesome, awesome title. And if you didn't know, it is so true. And that's why she's sharing it with us today. Now, the next question I have for you is that you write about many miracles that took place in your life. So many times we're used to hearing about miracles that were during biblical days or biblical times. Can you explain or share a little bit more about the miracles that have happened in your life?
Oh my goodness. Miracles aren't just for a chosen few. But first of all, miracles can only be found through eyes of faith. You have to believe. Many people have witnessed God's hand in something, but they pass it off as just a coincidence or a phenomena. Some even measure miracles as if they're on a scale and quality of performances, and even register them in books. My goodness, miracles are every day for the believer. They're simply God's hands working in his children's lives. Living with Christ is seeing God's hand in every part of your life. That's what miracles really are, seeing God at work in your life. You begin to recognize his handprints on things around you or things that affect you, moving things out of your way and bringing the unexpected or people to help you or opening doors, giving you favor, showing you amazing things you might not have noticed before, and pointing things out to you as a child of God who invites him into my everyday. I don't just hope for miracles. I expect them. In my story, you see that there were many times I needed powerful movements from God to help me. You see, many miracles take place, some of them mind-blowing. And throughout my story, those miracles just are huge, but they aren't any more valuable than the little ones I notice every day around me now. Because they are gifts to those that believe. They're my little hugs from my Heavenly Father that remind me every day that he is with me.
Oh, how wonderful. And that is such a wonderful reminder that God is with us every day. Thank you so much for that. Because someone needs to know, you know, because with everything that's going on in the world, there's someone right now who may be experiencing a little bit of more sadness than usual, or they feel like they're alone because we're not able to go out and about the way that we used to, but that God is with us. Man, that is such a beautiful reminder. Thank you so much for that. Now, one of the things that I love that you express, if I'm understanding correctly, is that you say that it's not enough to just believe in God, but that we should want to, should be willing to, and should be able to experience a living God. Can you?
Exactly.
I love that.
You know, many people think that just believing is enough and that they don't need to get all religious or spend time with God and read the Bible. God gets them, and as a forgiving God, won't they let them in heaven anyway? They try to live well, and they try to be a good person. Many believe that that's really all that God wants. But in Matthew 7:21, God says, no, that is not the way into heaven. It is written, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those that do the will of my Father Let's think about that one. It's personal with God. He created us to have a personal relationship and sent his only son to die for us so we could have this close relationship with him. Jesus died a horrible and painful death to pay for our sins in full. But the agreement was that you accept that payment and Jesus into your heart. In John 3:16, it says, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens, I will come in and dine with them, in Revelation 3:26. If you truly believe in him, you will live with him because you couldn't walk away. You couldn't leave him behind. Christianity is not a religion. It's a way of living your life through Christ, who paid for your life. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to be perfect or you don't have to come across something you're not. God created you just the way you are, but he created you for him.
Why do you believe that God chose you to share your story the way in which you did? Why do you think that it was important to share this story now?
Oh, right now, I think many women are hurting more than ever. And, you know, with everything that's been going on, it's been very frightening, and women have so many questions. They don't know where to turn, and some are afraid. Like, why is this happening to us? You know, how far is this going to go? And I just really want to say that, you know, I think God wanted this book written to ensure women that, he's got it. He's got you. You only have to surrender it over to him. He's so willing to take it. And he wants to answer your prayers. He wants to answer to all your questions and everything. He's asking in this time, turn to him, because he's the one that's got the answers. And sometimes, you know what? We don't have all the answers. But there is no one else that can comfort you like God can. There's no one else that will reassure you or hold you as much as God can. And even though, beyond all understanding, God gives you peace. Through all of this, I have had peace. And I've had many of my friends say, oh, they just can't explain the peace that they're feeling. And we don't know why, but we turn to him. We turn to him. And sometimes it's just for comfort in the unknown.
I love that. Now, you kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, and I want to give you a chance to even expound a little bit more, because there may be that woman out there that's saying, you know what, you don't know what I've been through. I've been hurt time and time again, and I don't know if God really loves me the way that people say that he does, or I don't know if I'm worthy of going before God and asking for this that you're talking about. So that woman who feels like she's just not sure, what do you say to her?
You know what? The very reason Christ had to die for us is because not one of us is perfect, and we all fail miserably. We all fall short of God. You can't fail God because he already knows you too well. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about you. You may not like the things that you've done, or the things that you've said, or the people that are in your life. But God loves you, and his love comes with no conditions. That's why it's called unconditional. You can't break his love. And the good thing is, he still wants you. Just come as the way you are. He does all the rest. In a gentle, loving way, we all come to his throne in filthy rags. Trust me, not one of us is greater than the other. You got to remember that when Jesus chose each of his disciples, he did so carefully and prayerfully, and yet every one of them were flawed and had issues. They were all sinners. Paul being the worst in the beginning, and yet wrote almost two-thirds of the New Testament. Paul was a mass murderer of Christians. When Saul fell to his knees and asked God for forgiveness, God said, "You are forgiven. Get up. We got work to do." He changed his name to Paul so he could freely go into cities and spread the good news of Jesus. When John Newton, the biggest slave master, kidnapped God's children from the land that God placed them and sold them as if they were cattle, many of them didn't even make the trip in the belly of the ship under horrific conditions. But when John begged for mercy and forgiveness, God said, "John, you are forgiven. Get up. We have work to do." And John went on to build one of the biggest churches in England and gave us the hymn, the most famous and well-sung hymn throughout history, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, to save a wretch like me. Sins aren't on a scale from 1 to 10. All sins against God. Jesus died for all of our sins. God isn't a respecter of money, education, or a privileged background either. We all are equal in the eyes of our loving Father."
That is so, so true. And thank you for mentioning that. And I think that so many times people get caught up in all of that stuff that they forget that we're all the children of God and that we are all loved the same. Oh, wow. Thank you so much for that reminder. And what a beautiful space for us to take a really quick break and just let our listeners just kind of roll that around in their spirits for a little while. Love you. No matter what. I love it. Before we go, Holly, if you could please remind everyone, what is the title of your book? Where can we get a copy? And how do we stay in contact with you?
Okay, the book is called God's Unbreakable Love, and you can find it on Amazon or any of the major bookstores. And you can stay in contact with me at www.hollycrobbins.ca.
Alrighty, listener, you know where to get the book. We'll be back right after this. And we are back. Thank you so much for spending time with me here on Daily Spark with Dr. Angela. I hope that we are enlightening you, we're inspiring you, and we are empowering you today. I know that I am enjoying my talk with author Holly Robbins about her book, God's Unbreakable Love. I know, such an awesome title. My next question for you is, and one of the things that we talk about is how to become more empowered. And I believe that you're doing that with your book, but what are your thoughts? How does your story offer a bit of encouragement and empowerment to women?
Wow. You know, when you read my story, you can see how far God will go. And how he rebuilds you completely from the inside out. It's full of hope, and it has a map to freedom. And it proof that God really is who he says he is. And I am living proof of how far he can take you. When you read my story, you can see that, because first God shows you where he found me and takes you through the years of where he has me today.
You know, I think that if every woman really sat down and thought about it, and they looked back over their lives, I know that's a song, they will see the improvements, the advancements, the things that they've been able to accomplish. But sometimes we don't take a moment to pause and just look at how far God has actually brought us. You are so right. He's there with us every step. Why wouldn't he advance his children? I love that. Now, many women are looking for answers to help them with the fear or with the confusion that they're facing. What is, and especially with everything that's going on in the world today, right? We're still dealing with the virus and uncertainty about where we're going to be. Does your story offer any comfort for a woman who is perhaps still kind of turning that around?
Wow. You know, the book really expresses years before Jesus and the years after Jesus, and you can see the incredible difference, the amazing transformation. And I don't know how I could get through the events today if it wasn't for God in my life, if I didn't have this close relationship. But through my story, you see God moving. You see the miracles, yes, but you see God moving in my life and how he rebuilt me piece by piece. And you see his strength, you see his abilities, you see the power he has, you see his love, and how far he will go to reach his daughters, to guide his daughters, to hold them up. And you know, with this pandemic, it came suddenly, and I was just as surprised as anyone. And, you know, this isn't the first time the world has faced a pandemic. There have been many plagues throughout history. This is just the first time that we didn't see it coming, and some of us didn't believe it would ever happen in our lifetime. But neither did the people in the past, looking back at our grandparents or our ancestors. There are many personal lessons to learn back then, and there are many today. When the world came to a sudden stop, everyone was forced to regroup and take a good look at their lives and where they're headed. There's already been multiple testimonies of awakenings, families getting closer, mothers realizing they didn't even know their children anymore. Couples were forced to see that they were headed for divorce. So many people were overtaken by their busy lives and forgotten what really matters in life. Many felt numb just going through the motions of their out-of-control daily routines. For so many, there was no room for or time for God. They allowed the world to guide them, and the politicians were becoming their leaders. I'm very aware of the hurt by the stories of great despair and anguish through all of this. But there has also been many stories of victories and amazing awakenings. It seems that my prayer line never closes these days. I don't hang up until I'm ready to go to sleep at night. And then when I'm just about ready to close my eyes, I'll say, okay, Lord, I'm ready to hang up. In Jesus' name, amen. I am always talking to God about what is happening all over the world. I find so much comfort in it. Pray. There is reassuring comfort in talking to God. Share what you're feeling with him. Even if it's anger, God will take it. Just turn to him. Yes. He's waiting on so many to just come to him. In my book, you'll see that the peace that I have, the comfort, you will see me literally growing before your eyes as you read throughout the pages, chapter after chapter. You'll see God rebuilding me. And how amazing he is, and how real God really is.
I love it. You will see how amazing and real God is. What a beautiful, beautiful way to describe your book. I love it. I love it. Now, I know that with so many authors, they say, well, I didn't think I was going to be an author in the first place. So the fact that I've written this book still amazes me. But we never know what God has in store for us. So I must ask, do you think that there are more books in your future? Is this it? Or do you think you want to continue down this path of being a writer?
You know, I always say God is still writing my story. And many things have happened even since I finished the book. And I always get asked the question, you know, when's your next book going to come out and what will it be on? And, you know, what immediately comes to mind is that Matthew 7:21, because so many are missing out on this amazing relationship God offers because they just don't understand what God is asking of them. God wanted children. He wanted family close to him. He created us for him. That's the reason you're here. That's the reason you're on earth. He offers a close up and personal intimate relationship with him. God says that he knows every hair on your head. So why in Matthew 7:21 would God say, depart from me, I never knew you? Because the difference is not just knowing about him, but the intimacy. For God, it's all about relationship. The more time you spend with God, the more he will reveal to you, and the more that you will actually experience him as a living God today. Very often, I've heard it as the longest 18 inches, because that is the distance between our heads and our hearts. God wants from us more than just a head knowledge. He wants our hearts. He wants our whole heart.
Holly Robbins, thank you so much for spending time with us here today, for inspiring us, for encouraging us, and empowering so many out there. Thank you so much again for being on Daily Spark with Dr. Angela.
Thank you for having me.
And listeners, thank you for spending time with us as well. You know, of course, that you can get a copy of God's Unbreakable Love where books are sold. As always, may the Lord continue to shine his face upon you. May you receive his grace and his mercy in all that you do. Until next time, everyone, remember that you are blessed in the Lord. Have a great day, everyone.
The sweet aromas of the apple fritter, cinnamon roll, and blueberry muffin are hard to resist. So making it home without reaching in your McDonald's bag is no easy task. But nothing worth doing is easy.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.